Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like for you to turn with me, please, over to the book of Exodus. And I'd like to ask you to put your finger there in Exodus chapter 14. And then I'd like for you to read with me just a little bit in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. The Word of God, speaking of the whole armor of God in the text, but where we have lifted out a couple verses of Scripture, these series of messages that we've been preaching on, starting in verse 12, the Bible said, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand or withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." We're speaking on the subject, standing in the evil day. And my, are we living in an evil day? I don't know if it's been decided yet, but it's been in the news of late that in New Jersey, it's going before a judge. The state is arguing against the parents and the school board. And the state believes that the school board has no right to tell a parent that a child wants to change their gender. You have to call a parent to give a child a Tylenol. But they want to be able to get them hooked up with a doctor, destroy their bodies, destroy their gender, and not even tell the parents about it. You can say whatever you want to, that's wicked. And that's just a taste of what's going on. And it just seems like some of these issues, it seems like when you get past that one, maybe they'll quit. But have you noticed they ain't gonna quit? It's just getting more and more ungodly by the minute, amen. And God is wanting us to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. The first message in this series, we stood by the cross. The second message, we stood on top of the hill with Moses and Aaron and Hur. In the next message, we stood by the well with Eleazar, Abraham's servant, as he sought out a bride for Isaac. On Sunday morning, we stood for what's right. We stood with Peter on the day of Pentecost, as he stood with the 11 and preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then on Sunday night, we stood upon a rock with Moses. And tonight, I want to preach on this subject out of chapter 14, standing still in the evil day. Standing still. The Word of God said, "Be still and know that I am God." It would be easy, as we look at the news and as we look at the wickedness that's going on in the world, it would be easy to get discouraged. It would be easy to get defeated. But I believe if we will stand still tonight with Moses and the children of Israel, we will understand some things tonight that will help us in these days. Beloved, God is still on the throne. And God has already told us that evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. What we ought to do tonight is get excited because the King is coming.
Amen.
Amen. He's on his way. Let's read some scripture tonight, and I'll get right into the message and try my best to be as brief as I possibly can. And the Lord in verse chapter 14, verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before, boy, these words are hard for me, P, it's almost trying like trying to pronounce a Filipino missionary's name, amen. Pihaharath, between Migdal and the sea, over against Baal Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. Do you feel like that sometimes? You know, the Bible said we're pilgrims and strangers, didn't it, Brother Larry? This world ain't our home. We ought to be feeling like we're in a wilderness, amen? My uncle used to sing a song, this world is a wilderness, I'm ready for deliverance, amen? I'm getting homesick, amen? And the Bible said, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts. I mean, he's looking for the day when our Lord is honored upon the devil and all his hosts. Amen. He puts him where he belongs. And the Egyptians may know that I'm the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? He made ready his chariot, took his people with him. He took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and the captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them in camping by the sea. Besides that word again, Pihaharath, I'm trying my best, before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. They were sore afraid. I tried to close my eyes today as I studied and wonder what it would be like. Here they come, there's the sea. There's nowhere to go. I wonder what them wheels, all that, I guess it kind of sounded like thunder. All them people are marching and all them wheels on them chariots, here they come. You say, Pastor, they had no business being afraid. I ain't sure you and I wouldn't have been afraid. I stood on the front porch the other night listening. They gave a tornado warning, and I mean, according to the news, it's coming right through where we live. And I stood there listening, and I thought to myself, if I hear that, see, I was in the hospital one time in Kingsport when we were actually there with my daughter. She had broken her wrist. And I remember them getting on the intercom and telling everybody to go to the interior of the hospital, get away from the windows. And it sounded like a freight train running right down beside the windows. So I knew what that sound sounded like. And I knew even a deaf preacher could hear that, amen, if it come around that hill. And I done told my wife, I said, where we're going is right in front of the washer and dryer. There's a wall about that far from it. We're going in the basement. I done made up my mind. There's an old bed down there in the basement. And I'm going to grab the mattress and throw it over her head. Amen. You say, Pastor, why? Because I love my wife. And I love my life. And I love the church. And I just do the best I could to stay here as long as I could. Amen. Amen. But I'm just telling you, I wasn't afraid while I was just there listening. But I believe if I heard that train a-coming, there might have been a little glimpse of fear in my heart. Amen. And notice what the Bible said here. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. That's what we ought to do, ain't it? And they said unto Moses, they didn't cry out in much faith, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word which we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. You say, Pastor, what are we looking at here? We're looking at a hopeless situation. As far as looking at it with man's eyes. And beloved, I hope and pray to God you've never been there, but I know some of you already have. You've been there in a hopeless situation. It just seemed like there was no way out of the situation. And the word of God said, and Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not. He sounds like an idiot saying something like that, don't he? I believe when the world comes into the church sometimes, listen, that the preacher sounds like an idiot. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Because the Bible said the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. Amen. And Moses, this don't even sound right, but Moses said, Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. A time in our life, in the evil day, God said the time will come when it's time to just stand still. No. You say, Pastor, it's out of control. That's one of my son-in-law's favorite sayings. I get to doing something, he'd say, You're out of control. That's what he'd say. Amen. Well, this world might seem like to you and I that it's out of control, that the evil, the wickedness is out of control. But I'll tell you what we need to do when we stand still is realize it's our Lord. It's our Savior. It's our God that's still on the throne and He's still in control. Give you some things tonight God spoke to my heart about in this message. In the evil day. Let me give you just a little bit by way of introduction and we'll give you the message tonight. First of all tonight, I see that the enemy is determined. You know, Pharaoh had let him go. The death of the firstborn changed his mind, so to speak. He said, it's time. I mean, they're crying all over Egypt. Amen. That firstborn has died in every house except for the children of Israel where they put the blood on the lintel and on the doorpost. And Pharaoh said, I'm going to let them go. But I'm going to tell you what we see right here. We see the enemy. Even though there was a time, a little brief period of time, when it looked like, okay, we get to go, and we get to go worship God, amen, he changes his mind, and here comes the enemy. I don't believe the enemy's going to let up, do you? I believe the enemy's just going to keep a hammer and keep a hammer. He's keep hammering on the home. He'll keep hammering on our hearts. He'll keep hammering on the house of God. I'm telling you, beloved, Brother Jason and I were visiting the other day, and I told somebody, ain't it something, amen, that the liquor store was essential, but the house of God wasn't essential? When COVID come along, amen? Isn't it something how that a great old big box store or a big old store that sells a whole lot of 2x4s could stay open, but a little store that sold just a few 2x4s couldn't stay open? I'm just telling you, beloved, listen, the enemy's just going to keep coming and keep coming. The enemy's just wanting to see what he can get by with, amen? But I want you to know this, beloved, he'll never change his mind. This is what I believe. I believe the enemy knows his time is short better than we know. Our time is short. He knows his time is short. And beloved, the enemy is determined. The thing I see next, that their faith is disturbed. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, in verse number 10, the word of God said here, Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, it reminds me, Brother Jason, of that first message you preached. Don't look at what you see. You should have been there for these people, amen? You could have hollered, don't look at what you see. Amen? I'm telling you, beloved, listen, these people have got their eyes on the enemy when they should have had their eyes on the Lord. And their faith was highly disturbed in this moment in time. And I believe with all of my heart, if we'd be honest, there have been times in every one of us' life when our faith was disturbed. Amen. The enemy wants to do anything he can to come between us and our Lord, to shake our faith in our Lord. I just want to say this to you tonight, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I stood there in years gone by in another storm when it was threatening our home. And I stood there on the same porch looking up at the same ridge. And I said this, I said, God, everything we have, you give it to us. It don't belong to us, it belongs to you. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say if me and Miss Eve had to crawl out from under that mattress and everything we had was gone, we'd still have him. We'd still have each other. We'd still have the family of God. Amen. We'd still have a home in heaven that outshines the sun. Even if we didn't crawl out from under the mattress. Amen. And their faith was disturbed. I'll give you this, and we'll get right into the message. While we have introduction, their thinking is distorted. I'm going to tell you something right now. The enemy wants to mess with your mind. You say, Pastor, what do you mean their thinking is distorted? Look at verse 11 and 12. They said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt. In other words, is that why you brought us out here? Because there wasn't room to bury us over there in Egypt? Beloved, they just cried out to the Lord. But listen to me. Listen to this. This takes into the book of James, chapter number 1. The Bible said we need to ask in faith. They're not crying out to the Lord in faith. If they were crying out to the Lord in faith, they wouldn't have come along with this distorted thinking and said to Moses, is that the reason you brought us out here to die in the wilderness? You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Let me tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully, beloved. God, give me this afternoon as I studied. My worst day as a child of God is better than my best day as a sinner in Egypt. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, they're standing there thinking we was better off over there when we had to get our own straw, when we had to make the bricks. You remember how they were grappling over yonder, amen, and crying out to God. Their thinking's messed up. It's all distorted, amen. I want you to know this. God said you better stand still. If you're not careful, beloved, listen, your faith will be disturbed. You need to stand still and know that he's God. Amen. It's more than just a saying. And know he's got this. Amen. And know that you belong to him. And know that whatever comes, God didn't say it was all good, but he said it's working together for good. To those who are the called, to those who love God, and those who are the called according to his purpose. They said, here, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Beloved, their thinking is distorted. What does God want to do when he calls on his people to stand still? Let me just say this before I get into the first point in the message tonight. It reminded me as I studied of a woman by the name of Mary. I need to back up and say this. I meant to say this in the onset of the message. Out of all the standing by the cross, on top of the hill, by the well, standing for what's right, standing upon a rock, this is the hardest standing I've ever done in my life. Standing still. I believe that's some of the hardest standing you'll ever do in your life. You can't go that way. Suicide if you do. Right there's the Egyptians in the chariots. You can't go that way. You're going to drown. That's the Red Sea. That's some of the hardest standing you'll ever do in your life, is just standing still. And y'all that know me well enough to know I'd rather be moving than standing still. Amen. But he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I believe if you and I would have went down to Martha and Mary's house, I believe we would have just, we would have been so impressed with Martha. Watch that young and go. I believe she is like an energizer bunny. You wind her up, amen. And boy, she was a servant, and she come in there and said to Jesus, said, "Lord, don't you care? Listen," he said, "Martha," I want to hear the tone of his voice, "Martha, Martha." I wonder if he didn't shake his head. "Thou art troubled and careful and troubled about many things." But he said, "Mary hath chosen the good part." She come in there telling Jesus what to do. Bid her. You tell her to get up off of her can and help me. That's East Tennessee vernacular. What was she doing? She was sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing his word. She was sitting still. Am I right or am I wrong? And what did Jesus say to Martha? Martha, he said, "Listen, Mary hath chosen the good part. One thing is needful." Mary had chosen the good part. And he said, "It will not be taken away from her." There's a time, I believe, beloved, listen, to be busy. "Occupy," Jesus said, "till I come." But what God is teaching us tonight in standing in the evil day, there's a time when you're not going to be making any progress. Just got to stand still and watch God work, amen. Watch him work. I believe it's important. Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still." Reminded me of Paul out there on the ship when he stood out there and he said, after long abstinence, Paul stood up, the storm's blowing, they've done throwed all the tackle overboard, and it looks like the ship is going to sink. He said, "Be of good cheer." I bet they thought, "Buddy, you must be drunk." Amen. No, he had heard from heaven. He went down there after long abstinence. You know what he was doing? He was being still. And God was fixing to show him the salvation of the Lord. The Bible said here that he said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." I'll give you three things hurriedly tonight and I'm finished. Number one, God wants to show his salvation. In verse number 13, the Bible said, "Which he will show to you today." God wants to show his salvation. He wants, listen, all of Egypt didn't come. All the chariots did. Pharaoh did. All of Egypt didn't come. But I'm going to tell you something. God said, "I want these Egyptians to know something. It's not just about my children. It's about me." You see, beloved, when David went down there in that valley, he knew, beloved, listen, that giant wasn't just cursing David. He was cursing David's God. Amen. And he had a battle. And he said, "The battle is the Lord's." And God wants to show. I want you to turn to 2 Chronicles quickly tonight. 2 Chronicles, please. And chapter number 16. I normally print out my scripture, but I want to read it tonight. I just had a couple, so I wanted to read them. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse number 9. Watch this. "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth." How many believes that means the whole earth? "To show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars." Beloved, listen, God is warning his people here. He's warning, beloved, Hananiah's giving him a message that, listen, God is looking for someone. He's just looking for an opportunity. And I'm going to tell you when he works the best, when we can't do nothing else. I believe it was Brother Don, and I believe it was one of his Sunday school lessons. He was sitting here in that wheelchair teaching us, and he told about a situation where somebody said, "All we can do is pray and trust God." Somebody else said, "You mean it's come to that?" Amen. I'm going to tell you what all they could do, beloved, is stand still and trust God. And Moses trusted the Lord. And God wanted to show, beloved, his salvation. And then not only did God want to show his salvation, but God wanted them to see his salvation. The word of God said here, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Listen, this is the same people that all through Egypt, the flies, the frogs, all of that mess that God put on the Egyptians. The darkness. You remember the darkness come, but the Bible said the children of Israel had lied in their dwellings. They had seen one miracle after another miracle after another miracle. And they get down here and say, well, this is it. God's out of miracles. Am I right or am I wrong? That's the way they're acting. God's out of miracles. I know what he done back yonder. Actually, they're not even thinking about what he done back yonder. They done forgot about what he done back yonder. And that's a dangerous place in the evil day for God's people to get, to forget what he's already done for you. Someone said it, I think it's in a song somewhere, if he didn't do anything else for me when he saved me, that was enough to rejoice the rest of my days on the earth. And all of heaven, amen, all of eternity. The disciples went out and they come back in. Boy, they were happy. They told Jesus, while the spirits are subject unto us, he said, howbeit in this, rejoice not, but rather rejoice because your name's written in heaven. They should have been standing there rejoicing, knowing by faith God did it in the past and God's going to do it again. And if he don't, we're just going to go be with him, amen. God wants them to see his salvation. Colossians, please. Colossians chapter number 2. Let me read a passage of scripture here. Colossians chapter number 2, verse number 13, down through verse number 15. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Anybody in that crowd tonight? Anybody had all your trespasses? Let me tell you something right now. If you ain't had them all forgiven, you ain't had none of them forgiven. That's what the blood of Jesus Christ does. It cleanses us from A-double-L, all sin. The word of God said, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and power. You know what he's fixing to do to Pharaoh and his horsemen and his chariots? He's fixing to spoil them in the sea. Having spoiled principalities and powers. Watch this. This is why I'm reading this. He made a show. God wanted them to see the salvation of the Lord. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. You say, Pastor, why would you bring those verses up? I'll tell you why. Because you and I probably never stand against the Red Sea. You and I will probably never, beloved, have the Pharaoh and his chariots coming after us, but we're living in a wicked day. We're living in an evil day. And I'm telling you that God wants to show himself mighty on our behalf, amen, and help us to stand in the evil day, even when sometimes you can't go forward and you can't go backwards, but you just have to stand still and know that he is God. He said, I'll give you this, book of Malachi. You say, well, brother, that was way back yonder with Moses and the children of Israel. He said, I am the Lord. I change not. Amen. These were his people. The apple of his eye. He has a church. And I promise you this, he's going to look after her. Amen. He loves the church. He gave himself for it. Amen. God wants to show his salvation. God wants them to see his salvation. And I'll give you this in closing tonight. Turn with me to the next chapter, please. Chapter number 15. Chapter number 15. The last thing in the message tonight. Stand still. God wants us to sing salvation. of his salvation. In my Bible, I carry a Scofield Bible, a King James Bible, a Scofield. It's just something I got used to through the years. Lots of times I don't know the chapter and verse, but I know where it's at on the page. If I know it's in the Gospels and know where it's at on the page, I'll put my finger on it in just a second. Amen. I'm just familiar with it. It's a tool that I've been familiar with for many years. In my Bible, it says here, redemption complete by blood and by power. And then it says this, the song of the redeemed. Glory, glory, glory. Did you know the angels can't even sing, Brother Dale, the song of the redeemed? I believe they're going to have to stand back when we get to heaven. Amen. And we're going to light into that. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor, power, riches, and glory. Amen. Revelation chapter number 5, if you want to read it after a while, verse 8 down through verse number 10. The Bible said in verse 1 here in chapter 15, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. They're not griping anymore. You say, why not? Because Moses held that rod out over the sea. God sent an east wind. He told the water to go that away and go that away. And he just kept blowing long enough to dry it up down the middle. Amen. I'm telling you, some of them liberal theologians come along and said that, you know, that was a swamp where they crossed. Well, that would be a miracle to drown all them horses and Pharaoh and his army in the swamp, wouldn't it? Amen. Why don't we just believe the Bible? He says a wall of water on the left, a wall of water on the right. And the children of Israel went out on the other side, turned around and looked back. Na, 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 na. And God let that thing collapse. And every one of them drowned in the sea. It's singing time now. You say, Pastor, I'm going to tell you, we're living in an evil day. You say, listen, boy, this is good right here. I heard Brother May say this years ago. He said, you know what? They marched around and they marched around. He's talking about Jericho. They marched around on that seventh day. They marched around that seven times. Amen. And you know what the Bible said? They shouted. Then the walls fell down. You know where we're at? We want the walls to fall, then we'll shout. They had faith. They done what God told them to do. They shouted. You say, Pastor, why did you mention that? Because I'm going to tell you something. We're not in heaven yet. We're not singing the song of the redeemed yet. But we ought to be singing it here by faith. Because we know we're headed yonder. Amen. And we ought to be rejoicing in the salvation of our Lord. Amen. The redemption by blood and by power. The Bible said here, the Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him a habitation. My Father's God, I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts. I'm just going to get down to one verse. I can't wait to read it. Hath he cast into the sea, and his chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellence, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. Moses has got this right. Most people, if they were singing this song, they would have said something like this. Thou hast, let me see if I can get back here to it. In the greatness of thine excellence, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against us. That's what most would say, not Moses. He said, Lord, they rose up against thee. We didn't take care of them. You did. He realized the battle is the Lord's. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Watch this now. Thou didst blow with thy wind. The sea covered them. I love this. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. I'm going to tell you something right now. We have an enemy. He ain't going up. He going down. He going to sink as lead one day after a while. And you and I, beloved, ought to just take our stand in this evil day. And having done all, to stand. Amen. I'm just glad you come tonight. Amen.